We'll have our opening scripture. This one is from Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, chapter 32, and verse 17. And it has to do with righteousness. And when we think of righteousness, we need to remember that in its context, when we get born again, the Bible tells us that we become the righteousness of God. And 2 Corinthians 5:21 talks about that, so that, and it has nothing to do with our feelings. It has nothing to do with earning or buying or paying for or being good enough to be considered righteous by God. It has everything to do with Christ becoming sin and the sin offering. And when we come to Him, there's an exchange that takes place. The old sin nature died, and the new nature of Christ has been born in each one of us. And that's where righteousness comes. It comes by faith in Jesus Christ. So when we read righteousness in the Old Testament, it didn't happen that way. It was more of a consecration of one's heart to the Lord, if you will, but they couldn't be born again then, and the Holy Spirit was not present to indwell them. But righteousness means right standing with God, and every one of us, whether we feel like it or whether we think we qualify or not, it's already an established fact. God has declared us to be righteous. So there's some benefits to that. And the work of righteousness shall be peace. Or you could say the fruit of righteousness. And the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. Now just think about that. Think about how, because of one's righteous nature, the fruit of that is this peace. And the reason there's peace is because we've been reconciled by God to Him. And so that in itself produces peace. Persons or people who have not come to Christ yet have a really hard time walking in the peace that's available to them to walk in. And I remember a conversation a couple of weeks ago when some of you were talking about people say happy holidays, but you know, when they're lost, that's all they have. And they don't have peace. And sometimes we forget that unsaved people don't have what we have. They don't have a relationship with the Lord, even though they could. And so they might revert to saying happy holiday, because to them Christmas doesn't mean what it means to us. Every day for us is Christmas. We celebrate Jesus' birth and His death and His resurrection every day, because He's alive and He dwells within us by His Spirit. So because of that righteous nature down on the inside of us, there is peace. There's a lot of stuff happening in the world all around us. And some of us are living close to things that are not peaceful. And it's a very tumultuous time. Some things that we're more aware of now, probably because of communications. But yet down on the inside of us, there's a peace that's not shaken when the wind blows. There's a peace that's not going to leave you, because it's not fixed in things, it's fixed in Christ. And that's a real strong stabilizer. It's learning to be stable in unstable times. And because of the fact that we're one with God and He's one with us and we're one with each other, there's peace in that. There isn't necessarily always a peaceful situation going on around us, but it doesn't have to get down on the inside of us. Because once we open the floodgates of trouble, it can just come on in when it sees the welcome mat. I'm having a bad day today. Why? Why are you having a bad day today? Do you like having bad days? Do you know that you can do something about that? do you know you're just going to have to get with it and get with the program and get out of that funk? Because you know what it is? It's an attack against your mind. The enemy's telling you, you're having a bad day today. How do you like having a bad day today? And you know what? If you really dwell on it, maybe it'll last even until tomorrow. And then you can have a really bad Monday. Rainy days and Mondays always get me down. And then you go to work all bummed and everybody's looking at you like, what happened to you? This peace is real. And it's a place, spiritually, that's going to hold. It stands. And then look at, and the effect of it. That's just a little bit of the fruit of it is peace. But the effect, how does righteousness affect my way of living? Well, the word tells us, with quietness and assurance forever. Quietness. Out of the chaos. Oh, man. If you could just take this word today and realize that God's plan for your life is a life of quietness in your spirit. Boy, so many people this last 2 weeks have been in an absolute frenzy. And they have no quietness, they have no peace, and they're trying to outdo everybody or spend more than they really can afford to spend to bless others, and that's wonderful that they do that, but if you're going to do it, don't complain because you're bumping into people in the store. Because you know what? That's all part of it. You know what? That's a good time to be thanking the Lord. That's a good time to be thanking the Lord that there are people in the stores, because if they weren't, they'd close. And then when you needed something, you'd have to go 40 miles away to find one that might be open. So, but quietness. Quietness is a nice word, and it also has to do with how we do our work. Do we do our work with quietness and thanksgiving, or do we murmur and complain? You see, when you have a quiet spirit, murmuring and complaining is not part of that quiet spirit. The reason murmuring and complaining is there is because I've let things enter in that have no place, and then I'm not settled. Quietness is settled, it's established, it's rooted, it's grounded. So, with the coming year, don't make resolutions, if you will, but I know we always, every year, people talk about making all of these promises. Don't make any. Jesus said, Don't be quick to make vows, because if you open your mouth and confess it and declare a vow, then God's going to expect you to live up to it. So be mindful of the promises that you make. It's one thing to have a desire, but you know, if you'll just do it every day, it only takes 3 weeks to get a nice new thing worked into your lives. And 3 weeks is nothing. It's a gone. Also, assurance. Assurance is a wonderful word. Assurance is, because God has declared me to be righteous, I have an assurance of a heavenly home. It's not a maybe. It's not wishful thinking. It's not based on feelings. It's not based on emotions. It's an absolute fact that we have a heavenly home. I don't know what color the drapes are going to be, but I sure know that it's going to be a really fine place. Much beyond anything that we can even hardly imagine of what it's going to be like. But we have the assurance of our salvations. We have the assurance that the Holy Spirit is in us. We have the assurance every day that God is going to give us opportunities to win in the battles of life. I'll tell you again, it's just a Rick thing, but when I first went in the service, it was during the Vietnam War, and the first thing all our military buddies did when they got a few days off is went and got a tattoo that said Born to Lose with a skull on the shoulder. And I said, I never did get a tattoo, but I always wondered, why would they want to go around and tell everybody they were born to lose? Is a lot of people have that attitude still today. I never can win. It's all rigged. This game of life is all rigged. Yeah, it is. It's rigged in your favor if you know what to do with it. But it has to be rooted in Christ. The assurance. And so when I got born again, I didn't get a tattoo, but I read that I was marked with the Holy Spirit of promise. I've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, and so have you. I don't have to wear a tattoo, born to lose. I'm born again to win. And I lived a lot of my life losing, and I'll tell you what, winning's a whole lot better. Mm-hmm. I learned that from our son. He loves to bowl, but he said winning's better. That applies to life. Winning is better. Gary, I saw your hand. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we have it. And people that we work with or we fellowship with or different families, they have a hard time sometimes even understanding us. Because if they're not saved yet, how can they? But this assurance forever, that's a really long time. Assurance is a state of absolutely knowing something so deeply rooted down on the inside of you that everything else can become unglued around you. But you have a steadfastness, you have an assurance about you, a quietness of spirit, you've got peace. Peter called it the peace of God that passes all understanding. How can you describe it any other way? But you have to guard it, because the enemy will use circumstances and people to try to steal it away from you. And don't give him your joy either, because if he could steal your joy, he's got your goods. I heard Charles Capps preach that years ago. If the devil steals your joy, he'll get your goods, because the joy of the Lord is your strength, and peace goes with it. I think like you, Bill, because going to India has taken me to a third world country, to places where even Dr. Solano has not had the opportunity to go and bring his skills and the things that are available now, but everything has a beginning. And I think of people that it's like they were born and never really having any kind of an opportunity at any quality of life, and God has been so faithful and so good in the many lives that have been touched. And we have to remember too, it's His power, it's His strength, it's His spirit, it's His miraculous working power that makes it all work, and He provides for all of us here so that we can give. And I mean, it's going to cost something somewhere. But this has always been a mission church. This is our vision from the beginning. To 28 years ago in February, we'll have been in this building 28 years. And we just have always had a heart for missions and the gospel, and look at what the Lord has done. And we can't take any credit. We're just all here together, but God has yoked us together. And coming into a new year, I usually start seeking the Lord for what He might give us for a word as a church body or as individuals, and the ecumenical services that are coming up in February and March this year, I've already been asked if I have any thoughts or ideas for each of the pastors to speak their messages. And I guess I'm grandpa of the bunch now, because they always ask me to come up with the ideas. Let's them off the hook. But I do actually have something, and I think if you think about things of significance coming into the new year, I don't know about New Hampshire, but Vermont will be electing a new governor. Our nation will be electing a new president. There is tumultuous times. We are seeing an increase in an assault against our faith, if you will, but that we should rejoice about. I'm not kidding. we should have that kind of an attitude. We should have a Bible attitude about pressures coming against us for our faith. And I, had I not gone to stay with families in Eastern Europe where they had lived under communism, and KGB agents would infiltrate their churches, and then the men and the sons would be kidnapped in the night and snatched away to work in Soviet slave labor camps. Don't kid yourself, communism isn't just another form of government. It is brutal, it is savage, it is evil, and it is wicked. And it will not tolerate any people of faith. And staying with families like that, and going to India, where it's basically a Hindu nation, and what an affront Christianity is from their perspective. And so I've been exposed to a lot of learning the biblical way to respond when pressures come to me as a person of faith, and how it just excites me right to the max. They ain't seen nothing yet. As far as the ability for us to stand. And so these scriptures I want to talk about this morning are very, very relevant to the coming new year. So here they go. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 57 and 58. And I believe that these are the words that have been in my spirit for a couple days. We haven't finished our love teaching yet. We will eventually, but today is today, and this word is for today and for the coming year. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57, "But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And I haven't got to the next verse yet, but just think about that. Whatever situation that you might be facing as a person, as an individual, maybe in a workplace or family situations, issues and stuff going on, this is a wonderful promise. And in the context of this, Paul was even talking about dying as a believer. That even in death, God always gives us the victory because Jesus Christ has the keys of hell, death, and the grave. And for those who have fear of death, we should not be fearful. And in every situation, God always gives us the victory. If you stand, if you're willing to stand and you don't cave, don't give in to pressure, you take a stand. And even in ministry, this fellowship has been challenged tremendously over the years in the realm of finances. You all know that. It's no secret. But somehow, we're still here. And we know who's responsible for that. And that's a good testimony, because even in your own personal finances at home, just when you think that something's not right, something is out of balance, or something isn't going to get paid, don't stay in that thought. Release your faith that God is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. And he's the one who makes it all work. Coming into the new year, I don't see any difference in the sense of just because we switch months and because next we won't come together again until next year. On Sunday, that is. Some of us will be here Thursday night. But Paul said, "Therefore, my beloved brethren," I'm still caught up in that word beloved, because outside of Christianity, you never hear of God spoken on such a term of endearment to his people that he calls us his beloveds. That is so precious. You should practice that at home and call your mate your beloved. There's just such a joy in that word. It's just a it's like God just wraps us in his love, and how he embraces us and calls us his beloved and brethren. So we know that's talking to believers. Here's the word coming into the new year: be ye steadfast. We'll just take them one at a time. There are several things. It says, you be steadfast. I have to be steadfast for me. I can't walk this for you. You have to be steadfast in your endeavors, your labors for the Lord, your very spiritual existence, your quality of life. Be steadfast. That means always going forward. That means being steady. That means not compromising, not giving up. Don't give any ground to the enemy. He's like a vacuum cleaner salesman. If he gets his foot in the door, he's going to sell you a bill of goods. Don't fall for it. Be steadfast in those things that you know. Walk them out for you. Each one of you have a lot of knowledge. Walk in the knowledge you have. Walk in the truth that you have and be steadfast. Don't let fancy talking people talk you out of the promises that God has made for you. Don't let them tell you that the Gospel of Mark was not in the original Bible. I've lived by it 34 years in ignorance, and it's been one of the most powerful things in my life. The next one is unmovable. Unmovable. When I think of unmovable, I just get a picture of maybe your car, and it's stuck in the ditch. And without help, it's unmovable. It ain't going anywhere. It's going to stay in that ditch. And you can push and shove all you want, but without some help, it's going to stay right where it is. Well, that's the way you and I need to be. We need to be, we're not in a ditch by any means, but we're in a place in Christ where no one is going to be able to move you. You need to stand and stand firm. Don't be moved with the weather. Don't be moved with the different things that go through the body of Christ. If you've been around any time, of any amount of time, you see all kinds of things go floating through around us, and don't get caught up in them. Like I said, there's no new Christmas message. It's the same. Why fix it? It's been there since before the foundation of the world. And the other thing is always the same as we all have today. Live your life today as though it's your last day. And it'll really snap you out of a funky attitude. Think of all the things you'd like to do. If you knew it was your last day, what would you do? Keep it clean. Oh my. Unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. You see, whatever your gift, whatever your skill, whatever your talent, whatever your call, you and you alone are the one who knows what God's will is for your life. And always abounding means just what it says. No distractions, no disruptions, no, there's no stopping. There's always something that you're good at that you need to keep doing. There's always that little still voice in your spirit speaking to you. And just because it's a new year doesn't mean the voice is going to stop. It doesn't mean the end of all that God has brought you through to this point today. Today, we'll just blend into tomorrow. But the main thing out of this is to stay consistent. Don't let discouragement knock you off course. If you have a gift of hospitality, enjoy it. Invite people you've never invited before. But always abounding. Abounding means increasing. It means running over, overflowing. So there's plenty to be doing. But we have to also guard our hearts about being so busy that we don't have time for one another. The time of standing together is really upon us. And we really need to be mindful of that. It's good to be busy, but don't be so busy that busy becomes God. There's times to rest. There's times to live. There's times to enjoy. But you're standing steady and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We're all called to something, to do something. Be faithful and do that. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, Bill. That's the rest of that scripture. It's not in vain. It's not just for nothing. And that it's going to have its day, and that'll be the end of it. Now, always remember the things. We may be the initiators, we may be the starters of something, but if God's in it, it's going to continue long after we're gone. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. And your labor is not in vain, because you might think that it's a small thing. Maybe you don't go overseas, but you're really good at going to Burlington and sitting out on the street corner with tracts and praying for people. Maybe you're the person who sits in an office in a workplace, but you have the most captivating smile and a spirit that people long for. We'll be all of that. And don't have a grumpy bad day in public. You're there as a light. Be that light. A new year is coming. And as darkness increases, your light will shine that much brighter. And it may draw more attention than you're comfortable with. Get comfortable with it. Learn to love you, the you that's in Christ. You have value, you have worth, you have purpose. And don't stop and don't let anybody squash it. So these words mean a lot to me personally. But they should mean a lot to you also. This is your life that he's talking about. This is God speaking through Paul to you today. To whatever you're doing that's right and good and just, keep doing it. Just because the calendar changes, God's not moved by our time. He lives in the now generation. His time is now. And we say we're waiting on God, but I really think the matter, the thing is, God's waiting on us. He's waiting for us. So keep on keeping on. And you'll never go wrong by doing good to others, showing mercy, showing grace, showing kindness, showing love, like we've been studying over these last few months. That's a wonderful foundation that will carry you all the rest of the days of your life. And even then, you'll still have the victory. Short, but right to the point. I'm not going to add any more to it.
Celebrated Christmas on Friday. It's our prayer that you all experienced happiness and peace and joy. But we know that there's places around the world that there is no peace and there is no joy. Needs to be our prayer for this coming year. And if we know in our heart that we can hear the Christmas bells ringing in our heart every day. And we can be assured of that peace. Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you, Lord, that we can come here and celebrate with you, Lord God. Even though we can celebrate every day, Lord, because you are with us every day, but it's just special being here corporately, Lord, and being together and drawing closer to you. We thank you, Father, for the word that was spoken today. We thank you for this song in particular, Lord God, that be our heart's cry, that there would be peace on earth to all men. Let us always keep that in our mind's eye and in our heart, that the day will come when there will indeed be peace on this earth. And it'll be all because of you, Lord. So we just thank you, Lord, for the coming week, Lord God, and when we meet again, we'll have stepped into a new year. Let us continue to pray, Lord God, that you would continue to bless us and be with us and keep us safe, Father, and keep the joy within our hearts now, and as we know, it'll be forever and ever too. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Holy Spirit. And we thank you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.